Our gospel lesson is from the third chapter of John. I'll read verses 1 through 17. I'm reading from the New Revised Standard Version, updated edition. And with this passage, which translation you read actually makes a significant difference. For instance, in the version that I'm reading, Jesus is going to tell Nicodemus that you must be born from above. If you're reading a translation like the Common English Bible, Jesus says, you must be born anew. And what might be the most familiar, like in the New International Version, King James Version, and others, Jesus tells Nicodemus that you must be born again. And why are the translations so different? We'll get to that in a moment. But this is John chapter 3, starting at verse 1. Now there was a Pharisee named Nicodemus, a leader of the Jews. He came to Jesus by night and said to him, Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher who has come from God, for no one can do these signs that you do unless God is with that person. Jesus answered him, very truly I tell you, no one can see the kingdom of God without being born from above. Nicodemus said to him, how can anyone be born after having grown old? Can one enter a second time into the mother's womb and be born? Jesus answered, very truly I tell you, no one can enter the kingdom of God without being born of water and spirit. What is born of the flesh is flesh, and what is born of the spirit is spirit. Do not be astonished that I have said to you, you must be born from above. The wind blows where it chooses, and you hear the sound of it, but you do not know where it comes from or where it goes. So it is with everyone who is born of the Spirit. Nicodemus said to him, how can these things be? Jesus answered him, are you the teacher of Israel, and yet you do not understand these things? Very truly I tell you, we speak of what we know and testify to what we have seen, yet you do not receive our testimony. If I have told you about earthly things and you do not believe, how can you believe if I tell you about heavenly things? No one has ascended into heaven except the one who descended from heaven, the Son of Man. And just as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whoever believes in him may have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, so that everyone who believes in him may not perish, but may have eternal life. Indeed, God did not send the Son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through him. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. I have a question for you this morning. When was the last time someone asked you, have you been born again? Or when you were born again? Maybe it's been a while. But in the 1970s, perhaps it happened a little more frequently. There was a cultural moment in much of Christianity where this phrase from the Gospel of John began to describe what many people saw as a more evangelical Christianity, perhaps a more focused Christianity, that in order to truly be a follower of Christ, you had to be born again. And it was based on this conversation between Jesus and Nicodemus in the third chapter of John. And many people had an exact idea of how that would happen. You would pray the sinner's prayer, saying, Lord, I'm a sinner. Please forgive me. I'm going to follow you from here on out. And that would be the beginning of a new spiritual life in Christ. It would be a way that you might be born again. Although other traditions had different understandings of what it would mean to be born again. I grew up in the Churches of Christ, and they believed that you had to be baptized in order to be truly forgiven and of your sins and to be born again. And so that was how they understood John 3. And Pentecostal groups would take that phrase, being born of the water and the Spirit, and would say that unless you have the gifts of the Spirit, you haven't truly been born again. And so different groups had different understandings of what it meant to be born again. But as I said, I suspect that perhaps in the 70s and earlier, this kind of language was very common. You may remember that Jimmy Carter made headlines in 1976 running for president because he was one of the first to explicitly identify himself as a born-again Christian. And so that was very much a part of the conversation. And indeed, the culture in many ways was kind of steeped in this language. The late country singer Townes Van Zandt once told a story about how he and two of his companions were stopped in traffic in Dallas, Texas. And they thought they were going to get into some big trouble. And so one of his companions, when the officer got to the car, said, "Pardon me, officer, but would you mind if I asked you a personal question? Have you accepted the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal savior?" And the officer folded up the ticket, put it into his pocket, and said, "You boys best be on your way now." And it just so happened that there happened to be a Billy Graham rally in the Cotton Bowl at that very same weekend. And so by saying this, maybe the officer just assumed that they were on their way to the Billy Graham rally. But I think that speaks to how steeped the phrase born again and that kind of language was, you know, at that time. But it also seems that there was this sense in which the phrase born again Christian might mean super Christian, as opposed to someone who is in like a mainline church or something. That you had to have some experience of being born again, and you had to be able to articulate exactly how that happened. And one of my favorite writers, Frederick Meechner, once said that the people who talk like that almost made him think that the spiritual life was something that you could do just by following all the steps, like making fudge if you only made the recipe. And from their way of thinking, like all the mystery of faith seemed to be missing. Now, there's another way to translate that Greek word anathen, which many translations translated born again. It could also be translated born anew, or even born from above. And so if you focused on this idea of being born from above, that did make it sound more mysterious, that you couldn't necessarily predict how it would happen, and that maybe we should honor the breadth and depth of all of our spiritual experiences and acknowledge that we can all come to Jesus in many different ways. I remember my own experience of finding some of this, the born again language, as being too rigid when I overheard a conversation between two college classmates who were both active in Campus Crusade for Christ. And they were talking about how they became Christians. And someone described the prayer that they prayed when they first accepted Christ. And the other one said, "Wait a minute. In that prayer you quoted, I didn't hear you say that you accepted Jesus into your heart. You have to actually say, 'I accept Jesus into my heart,' or the whole thing doesn't count." And I remember just kind of being flabbergasted by the rigidity of that. Because when Paul in Romans says that all those who call on the name of the Lord will be saved, and Paul in turn is quoting the Old Testament prophets, to me that's an affirmative promise and a beloved promise that if we call on Christ, Christ will hear us. It doesn't say all those who call on the name of the Lord and use the correct transcript for praying that prayer will be saved. It just simply says all who call on the name of the Lord will be saved. And so I've always been a little more attractive to the translation of born from above, partly as a reaction to the rigidity of many people who use the born again language. But I've also known some people who have had their own dissatisfaction with the born from above language because it can be made to be too mysterious. It might be too ethereal, as if we can't articulate at all, you know, how it happened. And so which is it? Is it born again or born from above? The more experience I get with the Gospel of John, I'm realizing that if something can be interpreted in more than one way, there's a good chance that all the interpretations are correct. I think John wants us to hear all three. And if our primary or preferred way of understanding this is born from above, then maybe we need to hear that, but there has to be some kind of transformation in your life. There do need to be defining moments where you turn your attention and focus on the spiritual work that you have to do, even if that's hard work, even if it is as hard as a 60-year-old going back into the womb and being born again, this is something that you need to do. I think there may be moments when we need to hear that. And if we're very steeped in the born-again language and know exactly how it happens, maybe we need to hear that, no, that's not how it happens for everyone. And we need to listen and be respectful of other people's stories of how they came to faith. And so what I'm learning to do more and more is to embrace all three. How might this mean born again, or born anew, or born from above? And one of the things I believe it means is that Christ is calling us to do something hard. That part of our spiritual growth eventually means confronting the things we would rather not confront, even if it means starting all over, as if we were being born again. Nonetheless, that could be the very thing that we're being called to do. And it's not easy. I remember reading the story of a Roman Catholic priest right after Vatican II. And in Vatican II, part of the reforms was that the priest could no longer simply face the altar with his back to the congregation during the Mass. But after Vatican II, the priest had to turn and break the bread and do everything in front of the people, in full view of the people. And this priest said, "My whole ministry, I've been facing the altar. And now all of a sudden this Pope comes along and calls a council, and now I have to turn around and do it in a completely different way." And for him, it was a difficult moment of being born again. I have other friends who grew up in certain Christian traditions that might have been very more rigid, and they are very honest about a process that they went through of deconstructing their faith, of taking all the things that they used to find so certain and re-examining them, trying to be open again. And it wasn't easy work. And I've now been ordained for 25 years and a Christian for at least 47 years. And for me, the prospect of having to start all over again is very daunting. Why would I have to do that? Can't I just build on the things I've already done and make some tweaks here and there? But it could be that I am in the place of Nicodemus, and Jesus is saying to me, you have to be born again. A few years ago, Richard Rohr wrote a book about the two halves of life. And his basic idea was that in the first half of life, we're very invested in building our identities, our accomplishments, success in career, success in raising a family, success in all the things that we're doing. And we're very wrapped up in this. But the second half of life, according to Richard Rohr, is not about doing. It's not about accomplishments. It's not about ego. It's about being. It's about receiving. It's about embracing our identity as children of God as the most important identity that we have. And being children of God means all that we have to do is to get born. And so as children, without agency, without a history, without anything that seems to make us special, this is the identity we're supposed to embrace. And it's not easy work. According to Rohr, many people have to have a crisis of some kind in order to let go of all the things that they have invested in all their life. But nonetheless, this could be the very work that we're being called to do. And in my own years as a pastor, I'm being privileged to hear people share with me about their own personal journeys and about their faith journeys. I know that our journeys are incredibly diverse, and that I cannot simply assume that my journey is like yours. But my hunch is that somewhere in your life, you are in the midst of a difficult conversation with Jesus. Maybe you don't realize it yet, but there may be some hard work that you're being called to do that you're resisting. And there may be good reasons for resisting that, but nonetheless, The conversation is there. Your thoughts keep turning to it. And Jesus is telling you that you might have to do something as radical as starting all over, at least with regard to this particular issue, to this particular challenge. So somewhere in our lives, Jesus may very well be conversing with us. Maybe it's in the middle of the night, as this encounter between Jesus and Nicodemus was at night. But Jesus is confronting us about the hardest work that we're being called to do at this very moment. Perhaps about that thing that we've been avoiding for a long time. And Jesus, in gentleness and love and firmness, is saying to us, don't be astonished that I tell you that you must be born again from above, anew. All glory and praise be to our God. Amen.